The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The combine is behind us. Free agency just days away. We are getting you ready for all of it. And a mock draft, too. We'll throw that in. Welcome to the Flight Plan Podcast. Tim McMaster here, along with Zach Rosenblatt, who covers the Jets for The Athletic. We are going to go through your mock draft, Zach, in which you did all seven picks for the Jets. We're going to talk about Darren Mougie a little bit. Big feature story out on The Athletic by you today, diving into Mougie's past and his high school playing career, his college, kind of the connections along the way, some of which I actually didn't realize. And we'll look ahead to free agency because next week we're going to try to, every time there's a signing of interest, we'll try to hop on and do little short pods throughout the week. So that's what we're going to kind of get into. So make sure you subscribe on YouTube so that you get that alert whenever we're going to go live, and then we'll hit things and it's going to be a good time. This is in a lot of ways the most fun time to be podcasting about football, right? Because the games are the games, but like this is the off season. So let's get right into it with the news of the week. Davante Adams released.
I guess not surprising.
No surprise there, right? Yeah. Right. Well, let me phrase it this way. Davante Adams released, not traded, but Alan Lazard, the Jets interested in trading. What was your reaction to that leak?
So my immediate reaction with Lazard was two things. One was something I tweeted. It just made me think of, there's a slip of the tongue Robert Saleh had in 2023 during the season where he said, he's like, yeah, you know, Alan's going to be here another year and a half. He signed a 4-year deal. Saleh was like, yeah, we'll be cutting them after we can get some cap space. And the other thing was, and you and I kind of joked about this before the pod, it called to mind, this isn't as bad as these other ones, which were egregious, but I can't remember what year. Bryce Petty, at one point, one of the national guys tweeted, like, the Jets are shopping Bryce Petty for a trade and there's interest or something, which was hilarious because obviously there wasn't. And then the more recent one was a couple of years ago. Braden Mann was on the trade block, the punter. He actually wound up being a Super Bowl winning punter, to be fair. But yeah, the Jets.
And he was Braden Mann, arguably the Jets' best player one season. So
so this called to mind those things. Like, no, nobody's trading for Alan Lazard. The Jets are not going to keep him, like it said in the tweet. No disrespect to who it was reported by. Like, I get why you have to do stuff like that sometimes to help a team out. But nobody believes that we've reported on this. The Broncos trade, other than the Madden stuff, it in part fell apart. Number one, because Woody Johnson didn't like Jerry Jeudy's Madden rating. And number two, the Broncos didn't want Alan Lazard, which was in the initial offer. Like, the negotiation didn't end there, but the Broncos didn't want him, so it fell apart. And the Jets were offering like more than what they got for Jerry Jeudy. So anyway, Alan Lazard will probably follow Aaron Rodgers wherever he goes, because Alan Lazard has basically admitted that he would not be who he is if not for Aaron Rodgers. You know, he had the terrible 2023, got off to a good start this last year. And somebody was like, so what's, like, why weren't you able to have this success last year? And all he said was Aaron Rodgers. Like, that was his entire answer. So he has no shame about it. He will not be a Jet anymore. So no concerns there, I would say, if you were worried.
Are you surprised that there wasn't any trade interest in Adams, even like a fifth rounder or something?
No. it is crazy where the league has gone in terms of like these talented guys because of the money. Like that, mm-hmm. I feel like it used to be you would just hang on to a guy like that until somebody bit and took it. But like everybody needs the cap space, and you see guys like Deebo Samuel, who again has fallen off quite a bit, probably overpaid, but still a talented guy. You only get, what was it, a fifth round pick for him?
Fifth round, yep.
The Chiefs trade Joe Tooney, who everybody was hyping as like, you know, one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL because he was playing tackle for them at the end of the year. The Chiefs just out of nowhere traded him for a fourth or a fifth. Like these guys don't like receivers in these like Amari Cooper went for like a fifth or a sixth round pick at the deadline. It's just all like money based now. You're like asking teams to take on the money that you're paying these guys. So you're seeing all these really talented players get traded for nothing. And it just like, it blows my mind. But anyway, to the Devontae point, like I think in the old days, they probably would have been able to get something for him because you're like, oh, he's still a top 20 receiver in the NFL. We should be able to get something for him. But when everybody knows you need the money and you're going to cut him, like there's more knowledge about the cap and all that stuff. And the numbers are so high and that everybody knew the Jets couldn't carry him with a $35 million cap hit. So you have to cut him, and then he's going to go somewhere and be really, really good because he's a really good player still. And you have to just like live with the fact that you traded a third. I mean, again, it was a bad trade. Ultimately, you traded a third round pick for a guy that you had for 11 games in a losing season. Like
that's the crazy thing though, right? Like nobody will trade it for a fifth for a whole year of him, but the Jets were willing to give up a third rounder for a half a season.
Well,
on a sinking ship.
Yeah. Honestly, it was, we said it at the time, we said it over time, even when he was playing well. Like I've said, if he was willing to come back, I've said over and over again that they should have tried to bring him back, but he pretty clearly wasn't. But like, I've never seen a team fire a coach, which is a rebuild move, and then make an all-in trade a week later, especially for a quarterback who was upset. So you're bringing in his best friend, and it was just like so. Oh man, it's going to be like one of those moments in Jets history that just like don't make any sense when you look back at it, as many of these moments feel that way.
Yeah, just not, no big picture view of what's going on in the organization, basically. Just like,
I should say in terms of like timeline and stuff, like, so they cut Devontae already. He's free to sign anywhere. They have that cap space. Rodgers will probably be a post June 1. So you won't get that cap until June 1, but he'll be able to talk to other teams. Lazard, I would imagine, is cut in the next few days at some point between now and the start of the new league year. CJ Mosley decision, I guess they don't need to rush that because he'd probably have to be a post-June 1 anyway. Then there's other guys. I know fans have been calling for the Jets to cut Michael Clemens because you can save a few million dollars. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I can't rule it out completely because there's only a few players that can cut to actually save money, and he's one of them. Greg Zuerlein, I imagine, won't be long for the roster. Thomas Morstead, I think, is an underrated one to keep an eye on because I've heard they're interested in Riley Dixon from the Broncos. So there's still going to be a few roster cuts coming, maybe some restructures, but they're in pretty good cap shape. I don't think they're going to go on a spending spree. I could be wrong. And so like the guys they get, I don't think are going to be like so costly. I think it'll be more in the John Simpson zone of like whatever, like $5 to $8 million a year for whatever guys they go after.
Yeah, we're going to go position by position of need later in the podcast and some thoughts on each of those from you. Before we get that, though, let's go mock draft. It's that time of year. Obviously, the combine's over, so there's the new information that comes out of the combine, and Dane Brugler has a new mock draft out as well that he came out with. Not the full. I don't think he did the full thing like you. He doesn't do that till later, right?
Yeah, he does. He does like a full 7-round mock draft where he does like every single player. Yeah.
But he's not there yet. All right. First round, Jets, number 7. You say Armin Membo. He's the offensive tackle out of Missouri. Yep. Dane actually had him going 4 to the Patriots. He's been moving up draft boards quickly, I think, from like late to mid first and now looking clearly like a top 10 pick. Overall, though, what are your thoughts on the Jets choosing to go offensive line with that first pick?
You know, I
and obviously you being the Jets in this
situation. Based on whoever's there, like they could go in so many different directions because their specific needs are pretty highlighted in this draft class as like best players, whether it's offensive tackle, wide receiver, tight end, defensive tackle, arguably edge rusher, corner, and there are some safeties too. So like you could argue in so many different directions. Mason Graham wasn't available in this one. I think he's would be the top like prediction I'd have. I just don't think he's going to fall to seven, the Michigan defensive tackle. So the one from Will Campbell wasn't there. I did the PFF mock draft simulator, which is why when we get to the second round pick, people understand why I picked that guy, because he was available in my simulator, not because I think he'll actually be available. But yeah, so Membo, like they're 4/5 of the way there on the offensive line. They have four guys who are pretty young. I think Vera Tucker and John Simpson are both in the last years of their deals. I would honestly extend, or was Simpson a 3-year deal? I can't remember. Anyway, that like this is a young group, but they don't have a right tackle. And I don't think they have anyone that you could say is like a surefire, like star type player. But yeah, you don't necessarily need that. But if you have five like good offensive linemen, you're in really good shape. And I think Membo, you know, he like blew the top off at the combine. Like he was like in the top two in terms of like 40 and bench press, vertical, like pretty much every athletic and strength attribute. I think he benched like 31 reps of 225. So he's a physical specimen. Whether you think he's ready to play right away or not, you can still bring in a veteran, and we'll get into some possibilities there in terms of right tackle. But if you can, I think they want to and hopefully will focus on the trenches, whether that's on offense and defense, just bulking up front, getting better up front, and then everything around it is better. And if you can go into a season, you don't know who your quarterback is necessarily. I mean, right now you don't. You will by April, I would think, or by the end of the draft. Putting the best possible situation around whoever you decide to settle in on as your franchise quarterback, whether that's this year or next year, having five offensive linemen you feel good about is pretty much the best thing you can do. So it'd be hard to argue against drafting an offensive lineman that you can plug in right away and start.
Yeah, that's always a good decision, right? As long as you get the right one. Yeah. Second round, number 42, and you just teased it that like probably not likely this guy's around, especially after last week, because speaking of, this was maybe one of the real stars of the combine was Nick Emmanuori out of South Carolina. The safety really hit it out of the park as far as the drills and all of that. Would fit right in with this Jets team at safety, a position of need. 42, that would be a stretch, but guys do fall.
You never know. And safeties often do fall too, because teams don't draft them very highly. Yeah. But I think I'm convinced that the Jets are going to invest more in safety this offseason than they have in recent years, because you just literally look at the Lions defense. They didn't invest like money necessarily in the safety position, but they draft picks. They had a second and a third round pick, Kirby Joseph and Brian Branch, who are arguably two of the 10 best safeties in the NFL. Kirby Joseph was an all pro. I think he had like 9 interceptions the year before. Brian Branch was a pro bowler. Again, both guys can kind of move all over the formation, especially Branch. And the Jets haven't really had that. I think they'll bring back Tony Adams. I think they'll bring back Isaiah Oliver. Both those guys are more depth pieces, probably. But somebody like Emmanuori or any, whether it's free agency, will get into some options or in the draft, in the second round, or even the first round, if you really, really love one of these guys. They need like a playmaker they can use as a chess piece, because that allows them to do a lot of different things. So I know I said they need to invest up front, and they should and will, I think. But getting a good playmaking safety, like they did not have enough playmakers on the back end, because DJ Reed and Sauce, I think, had one interception between them. I think Jalen Mills might have had the only interception among the safeties. So they need some playmakers back there. So that's kind of like where my head's at.
Yeah, that pick makes a lot of sense if it's available. All right, third round, number 92. So they actually have that 50 spots break there between their second round pick and their third round pick. Trey Harris, the wide receiver. Yeah, and they have to get a wide receiver at some point in this draft. I think that's like a non-negotiable. So third round, Trey Harris from Mississippi.
Yeah, I mean, you have to go into the offseason, especially knowing Lazard and Devontae are gone, think that Garrett Wilson is the only sure thing. Malachi Corley, if you can get anything out of him at this point, okay. He's a previous regime guy. Didn't show anything. I think he has a lot to work on, both in terms of his approach and just like his NFL skills. As of now, he's at most, probably you can plan on him being a gadget player. So you only really have one starting wide receiver. Trey Harris, he's got interesting size. He's got pretty good speed and downfield ability. He's good in like the short routes and the long routes. He's not as much intermediate area, but Garrett Wilson is really, really good in that area. So I think he'd complement him well. But yeah, you're right. I think they need to get a few receivers this offseason. I think they'll sign one or two, and I think they'll draft one and load up as many weapons as you can. The Lions are really good about that. They always had like a pretty deep receiver room. with a lot of speed and guys that could really get the ball and make plays. So whatever avenue they need to go to do that, whether it's getting, I consider it a tight end here, a wide receiver, they just need pass catching weapons ultimately to help Garrett Wilson out.
All right, next pick, 146. Here we go, Zach, making me smile. Kyle McCord, Syracuse quarterback, of course, previously of Ohio State. I mean, honestly, as a fourth round pick, I think he's a great guy to take a chance on. Set all kinds of records, obviously, at Syracuse last year. They just gave him the ball and said, we're just going to sling it. He has shortcomings, obviously. He's a fourth round pick. He's not like a guy that you're going to take higher than that. But to me, he's a guy that can come right in and like first year be that third quarterback and then eventually grow into being just like a solid backup quarterback for you.
Yeah, you know, and we'll get into like what I think the quarterback plan will be and all that stuff. We pretty much talked about it, but I think the idea is you bring in a veteran, whether it's a Justin Fields or somebody less exciting, and you bring in a rookie and you have just a competition in camp, Tyrod, veteran, rookie. And whether you draft someone first, second, third, fourth round, like I think they need to bring a quarterback in this class. Jordan Travis, you can include if you want. I don't really view him as like a realistic like expectation that he's a part of the competition, but you know, whatever you get out of him is gravy.
Has his name come up at all this off season?
Well, like, yeah, because there was a report from ESPN that Travis's agent is claiming that the Jets tried to rush him back, which is why he had a step back. So he's, I would say doing that is not going to really get you off to the right foot with the new regime, but you know, to each their own. And it doesn't really make sense to me. Like, what's the point of rushing him? Like, Aaron Rodgers played every game and you had Tyrod
Taylor. Yeah, why would they have rushed him?
Travis was not even going to play at any point. So it didn't really make sense. Like, I'm not disputing the report or anything. It's the agent on the record saying it. So it's on him. But I thought that was an interesting choice. But anyway, yeah, McCord, like you said, very, very productive. Maybe it was part of like the offense he was in, but you have the added benefit of he's from South Jersey. He went to, I think he was born in Morristown, New Jersey, which is pretty close to where I'm from. And he said he was number six because of Mark Sanchez. His uncle was a diehard Jets fan growing up. So there's like the fun, like angle with that. You know, I don't have a great read on the quarterbacks the Jets necessarily love in this draft. I do think there are some intriguing like projects after the first round. Jalen Milroe is the most intriguing project. If he's there in like the second or third round, I'd really, really consider him. But yeah, McCord, he's another just dart throw. You throw the dart, Jordan Travis-esque, he's healthy at least, and you see what you have. And if it's nothing, then you try again next year kind of thing. Just keep bringing in the rookies. But as you'll be on the team, you'll be wearing your Syracuse hat every podcast, I think, if he's on the team. So
be fired up, especially if he's active for a week. Like,
yeah. Oh, man, that'll be a big week for you. Yeah. We'll get all your college buddies on the pod.
I mean, and honestly, like, obviously, and we have some people that check out the YouTube that are Syracuse people, but it was a dark time for Syracuse football. And obviously, you know, Fran Brown comes in and somehow convinces Kyle McCord to transfer from Ohio State to Syracuse. And I was like, well, we'll see. He lived up to all the hype and more of what he did as a leader and just like face of a turnaround of and who knows what they'll do this year, but like 10 wins for a program that was just a disaster. Impressive.
Which is a good sign for something like the Jets. Like you go a guy that like can go into a situation where nobody expects them to be any good. I said before the pod, it would be great for the Flight Plan podcast if the Jets draft T-Mac from Arizona in the first round and then get Kyle McCord later. Cause then it would be hard for us not to show our bias in those situations. But yeah, best receiver in the NFL easily. Yeah.
All right. Up next, pick number 158, Danny Stutzman, linebacker, Oklahoma. Big run stopper. I think PFF had him second best in the nation as far as linebacker stopping the run.
Yeah. You know, when you're doing these mock drafts, the late round picks, so you just kind of like want to get guys that you think can either develop into something or like contribute right away. And he was pretty good at Oklahoma. They could use some depth at linebacker if they lose Jamie and Sherwood or to develop to replace Quincy next year or whatever. But he's just like a depth piece and a special teams guy kind of thing.
All right. And then the sixth rounder is 187, Miles Frazier, guard out of LSU.
Yep. They don't have any depth to speak of in the interior right now. Max Mitchell maybe, but literally nobody on the roster because everybody's hitting free agency. So they should draft an interior lineman and just hope he can develop into something, I would say.
And then finally, 209, RJ Mickens, another safety. So it's two safeties, but when you're picking in the sixth round, you're just going for, you know, best shot at something, special teams, all that stuff.
Yeah, well, that one was also just a nostalgia one because his dad was teammates with Aaron Glenn. So I figured I'd throw them his son because that'd be a fun story for all us writers. So that was kind of the impetus behind that pick.
That's like the classic baseball thing, right? When less now that they've dropped the draft, but when they did 40 rounds in the baseball draft, you get to like round 36 and it would be like, oh, wow, that guy's got the same name as the coach, and that guy's got the same name as the shorts. Oh my God, all these guys are related.
When you have that many rounds, you might as well, yeah.
Yeah, just take a shot. All right, so that is Zach's mock draft. We'll see how it goes, obviously. Do you guys do, or is this in the plans at The Athletic this year, where the beat writers actually do a draft where each beat writer is in charge?
Yeah, we did one before the combine, and I believe I drafted T-Mac. I think we do one a month basically. So we'll have another one. It is interesting. I prefer not to do them like that far in advance, but I get why we do it because people love mock drafts. But like as you get closer to the draft, just like interesting seeing the different iterations where you start to figure out what your team is thinking or who might, then everybody starts doing crazy trades in those mock drafts because who really cares? It's just a fake mock draft. So I'll probably trade up or trade back for the next one, I would say. But yeah, we'll when it comes out.
And that's what I kind of like about those ones is because the writers kind of do know what the teams are thinking, you get the potential trades that actually may happen, not just like a mythical trade that somebody throws out there, but like based on some kind of information. All right, before we get to the free agency preview, I did want to touch on your Darren Mougi story. It's a good piece. It goes back to the high school days and growing up in Arizona. He was a huge kid. That was like the few things came out of this. One, he was an enormous child. He was like 6'2" when he was a freshman in college and high school. And then he was a big time high school quarterback in Arizona, 6'5", could throw it like 60 yards. Three star though, not like your five star type quarterback.
Like a top guy in Arizona, not a country.
Yeah. And the other kind of through line, and then I'll just toss to you to kind of share your thoughts, was like, he has throughout his journey, I guess, been around people who at this point where we are in the world, like bigger names, right? Like at Arizona, Kevin O'Connell was in the quarterback room who has gone on
San Diego State.
What did I say? Yeah.
You said Arizona.
Arizona. I'm sorry. San Diego State. Kevin O'Connell. And then from there, just different people. And he's always kind of been the background guy until now.
Yeah. So at San Diego State, he was with Kevin O'Connell. And ironically, his first year at San Diego State, when he redshirted, Tanner Engstrand, the Jets offensive coordinator, was a walk-on quarterback in the same room, which is like a funny connection. And then, so he goes to San Diego State. He competes with Kevin O'Connell to be the quarterback. O'Connell wins it initially. He's like subbed in every now and then. The coaches that recruited him there like promised him they wouldn't move him to receiver. Those coaches got fired. The new staff comes in. He gets moved to receiver, which he plays for a couple of years. 6'5", and ran like a 4.53, like really good athlete. And he had, you know, cups of coffee in training camp with the Falcons and Cardinals. And in between that, he was on this high school coaching staff at Scottsdale Chaparral, which if you know Arizona, which I don't know if a lot of people in here do, that's like one of the top programs. He was a coach on that staff with Charlie Ragle, who I've known for a long time, was the head coach. Now he's at Arizona State, I think special teams coordinator. But Dave Ziegler, who later became the Raiders GM and now he's with the Titans, Kenny Dillingham, who's the head coach at Arizona State, and Brian Chesson, who's a scout for the Broncos, were all on the same staff, which is just fascinating to me that Mougi throughout his like journey has just been in these rooms with all these smart people. And there's something to be said about just like surrounding yourself with really smart, good football minds and stuff. And yeah, then I thought it was interesting, like the reason why he decided to go into like scouting instead of like coaching was he was like cut in training camp by the Cardinals and Falcons. And he was always fascinated about like the conversations that lead to those decisions and why teams make them and the process behind that. And so that's why he kind of pursued a life as a scout in the shadows, as they say. And he started out as an intern with the Broncos. John Elway is the one that hired him. And then he just like slowly, meticulously moves his way up the ladder. Elway decides to leave at some point. George Payton comes in, and I talked to some of Darren Mooji's friends. They were all like worried for him that he was going to get fired, because sometimes when somebody new comes in, they, you know, they fumigate the room, so to speak. And instead, he got promoted once, and he got promoted again because they were worried they were going to lose him. And so he became, in 2022, he's this assistant GM. He's in the room for all the head coaching interviews, which included Aaron Glenn and Nathaniel Hackett that year. But the Aaron Glenn one was important for, you know, their journey to becoming partners. And yeah, and then the last few years, he's been George Payton's like right-hand man, making that he was in part of every decision, good and bad. And I've said this before, I think the most educational thing was the way they went about the quarterback position, failing with Russell Wilson, moving off him, landing on Bo Nix, overcoming all that dead cap. And I think that'll be really educational for him as he goes forward. But yeah, he's a guy that, you know, it caught my eye how he was like taken aback by how much media was like interviewing him at his press conference intro and an Indy, because he's somebody who hasn't really had that many people interviewing before. So it's a big adjustment for him going from working in the shadows to now like being kind of in the spotlight. But I think he's going to be at his best when he's behind the scenes doing his thing. Everybody says he's meticulous. He's very well researched. He has a lot of connections, and he's kind of like a glue guy. He brings everybody together. So it's going to be interesting to see the dynamic between him and Aaron Glenn going forward. But I came away out of Indy and through these conversations, like, I think Jets fans should feel pretty good about the GM they hired. I mean, nobody really knows what he's going to be like, but I think he's made of the right stuff, and I think he's going to wind up being pretty good at the job.
Yeah, it's always interesting reading stories like this after you get the introductory press conference and you hear from the guy, but you don't really know necessarily all the background. And then you get the background. You mentioned glue guy, and one of the things you had in there was that he's still in a big text thread with his high school buddies. And they say that like the reason the thread is still going is because like he's the glue that kind of like keeps them all together and keeps going. So it's a good trait, you know. It means nothing as far as this job goes, but but it is one of those little like good traits, right? Like you're good at keeping people together, so to speak.
And he'll be good at like maintaining like the relationship probably between scouts and coaches and front office and stuff. So there's some value in that. And helps that they have Rick Spielman in the building too, frankly, to help out, because he's a first-time GM. So,
all right, free agency five days away. It starts on Monday.
Monday will be the negotiating window where all the signings are announced 30 seconds after noon hits, as if they just started negotiating and somehow came to five different agreements at the same time. Yeah,
amazing. The NFL was fast, man.
They work really fast. Yeah.
Yeah. No tampering. But so like I said earlier, we'll be bringing you little mini pods as we go, depending on who the Jets signed, whatever clears the threshold for us to think that's worthy. But let's go through the needs of this team, because there's a lot now compared to probably where we were a year ago. And just, you can throw out a couple names or wherever you want to go with each of these positions. Number one quarterback, got to start there, much to Aaron Glenn's chagrin.
I mean, we've delved into this, and there's, I don't really have a lot new to say a quarterback. I mean, the three names are all ones that have been put out there by either me or Connor Hughes or whatever, but I wrote down Justin Fields, Carson Wentz, Marcus Mariota. I think Fields is number one target. I'm not the only one that said that. A lot of reporters, national and local, have said it's probably the Jets or the Steelers. I don't think they're the only ones that are interested, but I think it's going to come down to whether Fields wants to re-up with the Steelers, because it sounds like they prefer him over Russell Wilson, or if he wants to take whatever money the Jets offer him and go join up with Garrett Wilson and all that stuff. I do think they have a real shot. I still am predicting it as of now, not with a lot of confidence, but I am predicting it. If not him, it's going to be a little underwhelming unless there's somebody surprising out there, or if they want to wait for Kirk Cousins or something like that. But Carson Wentz and Mariota are the names that Connor was the first one to report. I heard Wentz is a possibility too. He's like a buy low guy who has shown some skills in the past, but he's pretty erratic, and it wouldn't be the most fun, but him and Tyrod would be an interesting competition in camp, I guess, at least. So that's kind of like this is not an exciting offseason need a quarterback. Unless they're trading up for like Cam Ward, but
Fields is kind of exciting just because of the way he plays. But you think Garrett actively recruiting Justin Fields?
I haven't heard that specifically. I think the assumption is that they are cool because they went to Ohio State together. Who knows if that doesn't always
maybe they hate each other.
You never know. But I would think Garrett would not be unhappy if somebody he's familiar with became the quarterback. considering all the unfamiliarity he's had to deal with over the last 3 years.
Yeah. And speaking of Garrett, up next, wide receiver.
Yeah, I have a few names, a few that I think they are interested in or will be, and then a few that I think they should be. Christian Kirk, I don't know for sure that they're going after him or anything, but the Jaguars just cut him. He has had some injury issues, but when he's healthy, he's like really productive, good downfield threat, and I think he'd be a good compliment. He's going to have a lot of interest, though, and there's some coaches around the league with ties to him, like Cliff Kingsbury, coached him in Arizona, and he's the Commanders, although they just got Deebo Samuel, so who knows. But Josh Palmer and Tim Patrick are the two that I reported. What I'm hearing in Indy story. Josh Palmer, he's 25, pretty good downfield threat. Those are the kind of free agents they should be going after. Like, they're kind of young, they have some room to grow, and they won't be crazy expensive. Tim Patrick, he's just a elite, like, locker room presence. He went through a lot in Denver. He had like two straight years with season ending injuries, but just solid depth piece. And then two that I think they should look at who are interesting to me are Dyami Brown from the Commanders. Really fast, really young, had a really, really good playoffs for the Commanders. He didn't really live up to his draft status initially, but he showed some flashes at the end. And then Nick Westbrook, I don't know how to say it. He's from the Titans. He's a pretty good, like, outside boundary receiver, pretty good size, and I think he won't cost a lot. So that's kind of like where they probably will be shopping at receiver, I would say, like that kind of mid-tier range. Darius Slayton is someone I'd be interested in, but I think he's going to cost too much.
All right, up next, tight end.
Tight end, I put Conklin on this list. I think he would come back at the right price. And I don't know if the Jets are interested. Juwan Johnson from the Saints. There's been some rumblings that the Jets would be interested. I always am weary about overpaying the top guy at a position in free agency because it's a need. I think it pretty rarely works out. And so that would be my hesitance. Like, do you want to give him over $10 million a year? I wouldn't. If you can get it for less than that, maybe I'd consider it. But and then a couple of low-key veterans like Austin Hooper and Moali Cox, not as expensive. Bring in a veteran, bring in a rookie. Just get some like solid guys who are either good blockers or decent pass catchers, because it's a pretty weak free agency class at tight end, but there's a lot of like intriguing talent in the draft at tight end. So I'd probably lean more towards the draft.
But you didn't have anyone in your mock.
I did. That's true. I did not. I did at one point and then I changed it. So
right tackle.
Right tackle. Put Morgan Moses. It was just reported by Garofalo that he has a clean bill of health. He'd be a great stopgap slash like the Tyron Smith role last year with Olu. So I'd love to bring him back if I was the Jets. Matt Parrott is somebody I heard they'll be interested in from the Broncos. I never thought I'd see that name again because I covered it when the Dave Gettleman drafted him and he was kind of a mess in New York, but that kind of happens to a lot of offensive linemen to go to the Giants. Mm-hmm. Muji knows him as well as anyone. I think he'd be competition slash good swing tackle. I don't know if you want to commit to him as your starting right tackle. And Dan Skipper's one from the Lions. He became famous as being like the sixth offensive lineman, and the fans would go crazy every time they announced that he was an eligible receiver or whatever. Lions ties, good depth, that kind of guy.
Defensive tackle.
Yeah, defensive tackle. DJ Jones from the Broncos was another name I reported. Solid, just like run stuffing type of guy that you can plug in next to Quinn. And I don't think he'll be crazy expensive. Levon Wuzurike from the Lions. He's 25. He's again, one of those like buy low younger guys that, you know, he dealt with injuries beginning of his career. This last season was his first one fully healthy, kind of in the Javon Kinlaw mold in that way. But I'm more high on him than Kinlaw. Our old friend Sheldon Rankins is a free agent. He got cut by the Bengals. He'd be a good depth piece and great locker room guy for the media, which is all I care about. Puna Ford from the Chargers. He's 30 years old, but he had a really, really good season in Los Angeles. I don't know how much he'll cost, but he's somebody I would look at if I was them.
All right. And then we'll finish up with the secondary. First, cornerback.
Corner, I put down Brandon Echols. I think he could be fine as either stopgap starter or a depth piece. He's perfectly serviceable. He gets exposed when he plays a little too much, but I wouldn't mind bringing him back. There's a guy, Mike Hughes. I think he was on the Falcons. He played for the Lions in 2022. He's a veteran corner. He can play both inside and outside. If they're shopping in that kind of area of the market, I'd be interested in him. I put down Paulson Adebo. I think he might wind up getting more money than people realize, but he's 25. His season ended early because of injuries, but before that, he's playing really, really well. He's like 6'3", so you'd have two tall corners. And he's kind of, if you can get him at the right price, he'd be interesting to go after. And I think they bring back Isaiah Oliver as like a nickel as well.
All right. And then finally, safety.
and safety. I said a few of these on Will Parkinson's pod yesterday, but Jeremy Chinn and Talanoa Hufanga are the kind of guys that I would think the Jets would want because they're like chess piece. They can move them all over the formation in the Brian Branch mold. Ifeatu Melifonwu is a depth piece in Detroit. He's kind of a corner safety hybrid. I think he's someone they'll probably sign. Marcus Williams, former Saint. He's a little past his prime veteran, but the Ravens either are or have cut him. And then I also put down Julian Blackman, who I think had some injuries last year, but is a buy low candidate type of guy. As I go through those names, like none of them are like the most exciting, I would say, but that's kind of where the Jets need to be shopping. And that's kind of how you get back on track. You fill out the depth chart with reasonably priced guys and rookies and slowly build it as opposed to trying to go all in like they always do.
It would be a sign, right? Like, I feel like it would be a positive sign if they do this, if they do the smart free agency, get guys at good prices. And the frustrating thing, I think, with Joe Douglas was there was always like an expectation that they were going to go big, but then he always had his pricing and none of the big players ever fit into his evaluation. Well,
that's why the Jets were always a finalist for somebody after the fact. Like, you always heard about them after the fact going after somebody. It's the almost Jets that Joe always likes to talk about.
Yeah. So it's almost better to, hey, let's be upfront here. We're not doing that. We're not going for those big guys. We're being smart. We're getting guys that fill out the roster and get us in the right place. Big picture going forward. All right. It's always fascinating. I think as we go next week and we do these little pods, we'll talk about where the big players are going also. If they're not going to the Jets, I think it's worth weighing in on how they impact other guys, impact maybe the division and other things. So stay with us.
Yeah. In terms of like the Jets own free agents too. Like I mentioned a few that I think they will or should resign. I think Tony Adams will resign. He's restricted. I'm curious what happens with Morgan Moses. Hassan Reddick, I keep seeing him like ranked pretty highly in these free agency rankings, and I just don't get it. Maybe somebody will buy into the idea that it was just a bad situation, but he was a disaster. I don't think he was a particularly good teammate, and he was out of shape when he got in, and he pretty clearly just cares about getting paid. Maybe that'll be good.
Did everything he could not to.
Yeah. Well, now he has something to prove this year, so maybe that's like a motivation, but I would not invest money in that guy. Tyron Smith, I would think he retires. Maybe I'm wrong. Javon Kinlaw and Solomon Thomas, probably not coming back. Maybe they follow Sala or Jeff Ulbrich. Sherwood's the big one. I think the Jets are interested in him coming back. I think he's going to have a lot of interest around the league, not only just Ulbrich and Sala. I've heard a few AFC teams that really, really want him. So I'm curious like how high the Jets are willing to go. And knowing that Quincy Williams signed a below market deal a couple years ago, he's heading to free agency next year. Would he be like, give me more money kind of guy if they give Jamie and Sherwood like 10 mil a year? Like, that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. Really interesting how they all, the different pieces impact each other. All right. Anything else before we say goodbye?
No. Yeah. I mean, this is a fun time of the year, so I hope you guys subscribe and we're going to try and get some analysis pods pretty quick. I will say, I just talked about this with Samantha last night. I will not be, going to bed early, putting my phone on do not disturb and taking a weed gummy at any point during free agency this year. I will be awake and cogent and available so nobody can call me, you know, lazy or sleepy or whatever, because I went to bed early last year and they decided to sign three guys overnight. That will not be happening to me this year. I'm determined to be better. So look,
when are you going to go to sleep? Like, are you just going to
maybe never week? Maybe never. Yeah. Maybe I just drink coffee at 10 PM. I don't know. Cause I want to be there for the people so I can send the tweets that they want to see. So,
maybe you need a secondary person to step in when you're, hey, wake up.
I'm in the Badlands. Yes. I'm in the Badlands now. So maybe like Will Parkinson can take the baton for me when I go to bed, you know?
There you go. You guys can share the duties. All right. It's going to be a lot of fun. Love free agency week in the NFL. Thanks to everybody for tuning in. This is like a breakfast edition of Flight Plan because of our schedules. 9 a.m. I haven't even had coffee yet. I'm going to go do that. And we will check in with everybody early next week as the Jets start to make their moves in free agency.